This is a download from BFM 89.9, the business station.
Good morning and welcome to the show. I'm Meera Sivasodi. Now, the 2020 Olympics has been postponed to next year and many other sporting events and tournaments have been cancelled or even put on hold. And given that we're in the third phase of the MCO, we still have gyms and training centres that are continue to be shut. But what happens to the athletes, both amateur and professional? How are they maintaining their fitness during this time? And what happens if they don't? We have on the line with us Dr. Harjit Singh, consultant orthopaedic surgeon. How are you, Dr. Harjit?
Hi, Meera. It's good to be back.
Yeah.
I'm fine, managing.
Third phase of the MCO, how are we doing? How are you doing?
I think I've come to terms with the new way of life, which I hope will change to something resembling the old way of life. But I have my doubts.
What are you seeing? I mean, we know that people are sort of avoiding going to hospitals unless it's, you know, they suspect that they have COVID or they come down with the symptoms. But I know for other non-COVID patients, you know, surgeries have been put on hold. People are reluctant to come forward to see you, even if they have issues. Now, let's go through, before we go into the fact that people now are confined to the home and, you know, they should be moving and doing some sort of exercise. For the people who delay coming to see you for orthopedic issues, what's your advice to them?
Yeah, I think these are times where being a little bit cautious is safer than just rushing to the hospital and for something that can be self-treated. Throughout the years, we have always looked at issues and how it is safe to treat certain injuries by one's own and keep themselves rested and safe. And that is actually what I've been seeing in practice. There are many methods of communication. So my patients have been using those methods, WhatsApp messages, a call coming in, and we have tried to advise them in a very general manner on how they can manage things. Of course, the bad ones like a cut or a fracture is pretty obvious and they do come into the hospital, the emergency rooms for treatment. But I think if you have a twisting injury, something not so sinister looking and like we repeatedly explain, you can still move the joint, you can put weight on the part, then icing it and taking it easy, medication, over-the-counter pain relief. And if they get better, then they can tidy it out until the MCO is over, because whether we like it or not, traveling around at this time is not the best thing to do.
Yeah. And at the hospital itself, I think a lot of people are reluctant to come because of the exposure to the virus. How has Columbia Asia and Bukit Rimah, how have you guys sort of, what steps have you taken to ensure that patients are protected to a certain extent?
Yeah, so we are not a designated COVID hospital. But having said that, we do know that there are a good subset of patients who are asymptomatic and they might present with other problems. And therefore, any patient coming in is screened with a series of questions. The temperature is taken. And like we were advised in a healthcare facility, we are always masked up and we do take preventive steps. But having said all that, the basic steps of good hand hygiene, keeping a distance even in the hospital, all the seating area is actually, there is a distancing between the seats and we keep the number of patients and the in-out flow minimum and as safe as we can. So if we have, if there is a patient coming in, we, apart from just treating the orthopedic condition, we make sure everything is safe.
What about surgeries? I was reading that in hospitals generally with COVID-19, surgeries are sort of put on hold or avoided because there is a very high chance that the surgeon could possibly go in with the virus, or even, you know, you're supporting healthcare individuals who are in the operation theatre with you.
Yes, yes, yes. I think the responsibility we on the surgeon and the health system is a big one. As a surgeon, I can't only think about myself and the protective equipment that I wear, but all the healthcare members of the team are always going to do the same thing. Elective procedures are on a hold. If you just Google a pandemic, the concept is there is no emergency in a pandemic. But when you look at surgical procedures, we can divide them to the essential need to be done procedures and also the more elective procedures, the one that can wait. And there are situations where fractures can be treated without surgery, and we tend to err towards those kind of situations. Of course, if you have fractures which involve a wound where the fracture becomes open, then we are forced, or we are definitely going to treat you optimally with surgery and whatever's needed. And during that time, yes, we protect the whole team with the personnel protection equipment that we have.
Okay, so all of you are suited up in your PPEs when you go into surgery.
Yeah, and that also is something that we never had to use before. So, you know, even the face shields that we have tends to fog, and then we moved around how to ensure that it doesn't fog. So it's a good lesson that regardless of whatever you are trained for, there's always something that can shift everything and you have to relearn and improve and improvise.
Okay, that's very interesting. Never thought of face shields that actually fog up. What was the solution? I'm very curious though.
Yeah, so what the padding that we use now, there's a bit of a distance and we change the way we breathe. I breathe a lot through my mouth now.
Really?
And even the N95 masks that we use, actually, I think the one that has helped me most is the way I breathe. You know, when surgery is tough, you tend to increase the rate of your breathing because it's
stress.
I wouldn't say.
It is.
Okay, yes, it's stress. Yes, yes, it's stressful. But woosha, we do some yoga moves and we keep the breathing control, the fogging better. I tried goggles. They fogged also. But I've come, okay, now vision, everything is sorted out. So it's quite cool now. If I need to do surgery.
If you do, okay. But ideally, you would avoid it. Let's go back to, you know, athletes who have now been confined to the home. What's happening to them? I mean, do you keep in touch with anyone? How are they managing to keep up with their routine, their fitness levels?
Yeah, so, I mean, if you look on the net, there are a lot of, even our national athletes, they have put up, you know, in support to this pandemic, they've put up their, you know, videos of them training at home, a lot of motivational messages. The sports sciences unit in UM had a nice how you can keep fit during COVID. I actually spoke to one athlete and he was laughing and telling me that to be an athlete, you are anyway locked down most of the time. He said, what do I do? He said, Harjit, I train in the morning and then I have to watch what I eat. Then I train in the evening. So I'm either at the stadium, the gym, or at home. So it's like a lockdown anyway. But of course, to keep up to the fitness level and training as they usually do is a challenge. It's almost impossible, especially when they are not training with a target in mind. I think all athletes, they train towards a particular competition. So everything is tailored to that, the intensity, when to increase it, when you reduce it, when you tail it off to enable them to hit a peak. Now, Olympics no longer on the table. All competitions are basically shut for now. And the idea, from what I gather, is for them to keep their fitness and stamina, and so that, you know, they don't lose too much of that.
And how do we do that? We'll come back and find out up next. What happens to an athlete's performance and body if they sort of abruptly stop training? And at the moment, I think space is a challenge. How do you do cardio and, you know, strength training and weights and stuff like that? But is it even possible to keep up to those levels of fitness? That's coming up next on The Bigger Picture, BFM 89.9. Welcome back. I'm Meera Sivasothi. It's our Health and Living segment. On the line with me, Dr. Harjit Singh, consultant orthopedic surgeon. We're discussing an athlete's performance amidst a pandemic. We know sporting events have been postponed. Some have been cancelled. Gyms, training centres all shut down. Everybody is at home now. How do we manage and maintain those levels of fitness that we have achieved? You know, with some of these athletes, Dr. Harjit, I mean, they have been at the peak of their careers, honestly. They were all geared up for the Olympics, you know, and they're in great shape. What happens to them that they suddenly have to now cut down? Let's face it, it's not going to be the same as you running on the track in a stadium. You're not going to be going to a gym. So definitely the intensity in which you're going to be working out is much lower than what you usually would be. What happens to these athletes? What happens to their body?
Yeah, so I think athletes, and just like any other human being, we are social animals. Exercising is also a part where when you meet or exercise in a group, it's definitely going to give you better benefits, because the motivation, the camaraderie, the competitive nature that you get being in a group is something that they lose immediately now. Now, like I mentioned earlier, when someone trains, they are trying to obtain the highest level of fitness and body composition that is required for that particular sport that they partake in. The training also conditions the body so that the risk of injury is reduced, and they hone their skills in a stepwise manner to reach their peak. Now, once you aren't able to condition or train, you will definitely lose your fitness and capability from the word go. But these athletes have been training for the longest of time, so they don't lose this fitness immediately. Leaving exercise for a period of time, you tend to lose some amount of fitness after about 7 to 10 days, and you normally lose the fitness that you gained over the past few months. So you don't lose immediately all your fitness, but you always have a base. Now, the game now is, we know that you cannot exercise completely at the plan that was created for an outdoor training program. But there is so much that everyone can do at home. Now, look at everything. Even business processes are changing. Even the way we order food is changing. And similarly, I think exercising is also following the same regime. There are a lot of equipment, a lot of tech out there, which allows us to train virtually in a group with very good feedback, and simulating environments that are more natural. For example, maybe riding your bike outside and the terrain changes, allowing you to increase the resistance or decrease the resistance based on the terrain. And now with certain applications, you can actually train, you can actually ride in a group. And you can get feedback even from your coach or any virtual coach. But these things, they are not a perfect solution, but they allow you to train quite a bit, bearing in mind that the idea is to keep up stamina and fitness, working on strength and also flexibility. So it is a trade-off, but I think that it keeps them in good state. Now, if an athlete, they've been designed to perform at the highest level for a goal. Now, suddenly being told that things are not going their way, the Olympics is at 2021 or further, depending on how things go, I think it also plays on their mind. And we have to understand that the mental health also suffers. So I'm thinking that keeping some amount of activity and normalcy, having a routine of exercise, allows them to also not get into the mental torture of not being able to do their job, which is being an athlete.
I also understand there are now e-marathons and e-cycling events which you can participate in from home.
Yes, yes, you can. Yes, you can.
And they even send you medals.
Yeah, yeah, the medals are quite cute, but it needs a commitment. And being an elite athlete has always been, you are designed to be someone who has discipline and commitment. So the idea is to keep to that. And sometimes I feel that being an athlete is a full-time job. So a few of them who retire from sports, and when I speak to them, they actually tell me that I get to do things now, doctor, that I never got to do last time when I was in high level training.
Such as?
They can partake in a hobby that they always wanted to do. They can up their reading. They can pick up skills that or take a course that they never had the chance to. Now, with this downtime, I think apart from keeping up with training and keeping their conditioning to a satisfactory level, I think they get the opportunity of just taking a step back and looking. I think the MCO has resulted in all of us taking a step back and looking at what is more important to us and what is also important to us at times like this. So I think that's one. Now, athletes who were injured or risking injury or overtraining, I think this break works very much in their favor because they can then take a rest, let the body heal and train, and probably at the same time tweak their training programs to prevent further injury.
You know, does this mean that we need to build in time for the body to recover, or even when it comes to elite athletes?
No, I think that's always the case.
But there's always this fear that if you lay off too much, or I'm not even saying wait for an injury, I'm just saying the body needs to recover.
Okay. I think we have always spoken about in training or competition, the rest play cycle is very, very important. That's always been something that everybody is mindful about. And if you look at a training program, the training program is designed to gradually bring you stronger, better, faster, and bringing you to your peak just at the point of competition. And in general, if you look at it, the last short period just before competition, you will see a tailing off from the intensity of training. There'll be a little bit of a drop in the training intensity because you never want to risk injury. That means you have pushed the body, the mind, right up to a point that this guy is now honed like a sharp dagger or knife, and he's going to perform highest at that point. His confidence level is highest, and then you tail it off a bit just before competition. I'm not saying that MCO is anything like that. It's definitely not like that. But if we look at the negativity of not being able to train, then I think we stop looking at ways to get around that problem. And I think that rightly so, you mentioned there are so many e-marathons going on. And of course, they don't, nothing will replace going out, wearing your shoes and running your route. And nothing on a treadmill is going to be a good trade-off for that. But it allows you to continue keeping some amount of sanity and training online. What I think is that when you start training indoors, you also realize that nothing will ever mimic outdoor training, full stop. Even if you cycle on a trainer, you will realize that you sweat so much because the wind effect of riding outdoors doesn't dry your sweat fast enough. So you start, okay, switching on the fan, doing it outdoors, and the boredom, maybe you watch a movie, but it's a doable thing. It's not perfect, but it's doable. So it's everything is a compromise at this time.
Do you think the MCO is then a good time for people dealing with an injury?
I think it is. I think a little bit of time off when you're dealing with an injury is good. The MCO is bad for everything that we are used to having this in our life. Is we have never had this kind of scenarios in our life, so it's difficult to compare it with anything else. But if you're injured, this is the ultimate time for you to heal. That means if you have had a period of overtraining maybe, and you've got this overuse injury, rest is definitely going to help you. A bit of rehab, some stretches, basic strength work, it allows you to recover. And when everything gets back to some level of normalcy, a new normalcy, so to speak, there will be a modification of training program, training techniques. The science will change to accommodate whatever we have to do, and you can move forward.
What about athletes going back after the MCO? Of course, we don't know when this will be lifted. However, how do they get back into a routine without injuring themselves? Because definitely your level of fitness and, you know, how much you've trained is going to be, you're going to be starting on a different level, at a lower level than you were before the MCO. What are some of the challenges that you foresee?
Okay, the way I look at it is that any athlete worth his or her salt would know that they are not coming back to a point that they stopped at. They are coming back to a point much lower than what they were before. And any coach or manager would be mindful about that, and the training program would cater to that. Everything is going to start from a lower base, and they are going to build it up again. So there is no such thing as, okay, this was my training program, MCO has done this, and therefore after that I just start from the word go. No, you would definitely get injured because the body at that time is not conditioned for the level that you're going to push it at.
Let's talk about people who don't have a coach, right? People like you, for an example, you cycle. You can't cycle now.
Yeah, I have a coach.
Oh, you do?
On Google, the training app coaches me.
That ain't what I'm talking about, Dr. Arjun.
Yeah, I get your point.
Yeah, so there are many people like you who participate in cycling events, in triathlons, in Ironman, and just people who run marathons. What's your advice to them when they come out of this?
I think obtaining good information is easy nowadays. Analyzing the information yourself is something that we need to do with caution. And I always feel when you train, if you listen, if you have a little bit of knowledge, and you work within that information and you start slow and build up, as you get more comfortable and you talk to people who are better than you and who are more experienced for a bit of guidance. And from that take-home messages, you do your own reading. Yes, you will be safe. The idea of pushing yourself to standards that other people set for themselves has never been something that I've followed. I normally go a little bit slower, and although I get left behind, I always play it safe and I build from a base. Most people are like that. If you say that they have already taken part in marathons and triathlons before, once the MCO ends and say in another year these activities are restarted, then they already have a base at which they trained for before, and they would be doing the same thing. So I think it tends to be safe if we understand that start slow and build up again. You are never at the point which you were before. You probably are at the point when you first started, slightly higher.
There is usually a disconnect between the mind and the body. We have 40-year-olds who suddenly start playing games thinking they're 25-year-olds. I'm guaranteeing you
that 40-year-olds are 25 years old. Okay, yeah, that's the disconnect.
No, you're not. Your body is an entirely different body. And then there are going to be people who are going to dive into training again and running and cycling at the pace that they left off before the MCO. What are some of the injuries that they should be looking out for?
Yeah, I think what's going to happen is, like I've always pointed out, there are always two kinds of injuries, the acute injury and the overuse injury. That means you push your body a bit more than it should over a period of time and you get overuse injuries such as a tendon injury or at the shoulder, a rotator cuff, tendinitis or inflammation, sort of those kind of simple stuff. And what happens then is if you are the kind that listens to your body, you would realize that, hey, I think I'm pushing myself too much. And you would let your foot off the gas, allow it to recover a bit, and you move forward. If you do not do that, then you are not going to enjoy your exercise because the pain and dysfunction will get worse over a period of time, stopping you from doing it altogether. And that's when you end up coming and seeing a doctor. So the principles of exercise and training are the same post-MCO as they were before the MCO. The thing that all of us need to be mindful about is that you were building from a base and you were getting better, and MCO has put a spanner in your works and you are going to start at a slightly lower level.
Do you foresee yourself being terribly busy when the MCO is lifted?
I hope people... I hope...
You have people who have delayed coming to see you or who will delay coming to see you. As you've mentioned,
yes,
if you can manage it at home, do it. Those people are probably going to come to you. You're going to have people who, you know, are suddenly going to go back and injure themselves because they've overdone, not got back into the routine gradually. Do you foresee that's going to happen?
No, I definitely foresee increase in work, the areas of sporting injuries once the MCO is lifted, because nobody is actually doing any outdoor sports now. But surprisingly, we do have people who also, I've seen a few, one or two, who push themselves a lot in their indoor activities and get injured. And they do call in and I tell them, okay, these are the basic things that you can do. Some get better. The one or two that did not ended up coming to the hospital for treatment. So whether or not we expect that after MCO people are going to push themselves, the ones that push themselves will push themselves anyway, even now.
And for those... what do we do to avoid injuries when working out at home? I mean, would you have examples of people who have overdone it and what they actually do?
Okay, there are a lot of them who, you see, say for the ones who are cycling on a trainer, the movement and the resistance, it's quite natural if you have a smart trainer, so to speak. But there is always a tendency of pushing on further and harder, causing muscle strains and, you know, tendon overuse injuries at the ankle or at the quadriceps for cycling. The ones who run, they tend to neglect the warm-up, thinking that that's not an essential part of doing it at home, and they suffer from the usual runner injuries, such as the runner's knee or iliotibial band syndrome. But all these are easily tackled if you still follow the concepts of your warm-up exercise and warm-down. I do notice some of them get aches and pains because of poor hydration. So you have to keep up with your post-exercise hydration, and you have to keep up with nutrition. But a big thing that I've noticed is that people tend to, because they've always been people who are exercising quite a bit, or they are very athletic, and now the MCO drops their activity level, but they still eat the same amount. So that's also going to be an issue. So you do have to watch hydration, you have to watch nutrition, you have to exercise appropriately. Just because you are exercising at home does not mean that you don't need to wear the appropriate attire.
What about sleep?
Oh yeah, you get the opportunity to sleep, right? I mean, I sleep 8 hours a day now.
Wow.
I'm so happy.
Is it something that you wish you would, or you hope to do even in the future? I mean, we're taking away a lot of lessons from the MCO. A lot of us hope to lead better lives. We've realized it's a good time to take stock of the sort of life pre-MCO and how we want to improve things. Besides getting 8 hours sleep, do you even think that's possible for you?
I think we have to make it possible. One thing that I've done is that I've read a few of the books that my wife Nirmal always told me that I should read. I've never read a few classics that she actually bought for me on my 40th birthday, and I'm 46 now. So I finished the books.
Fantastic.
And it has been an eye-opener, you know, and I've been able to read some self-help and history books that I wanted to read about world history. And you realize that, yes, sleep is important. Doing other things not related to your area of specialization is important. Because prior to this, most of my reading circulated around orthopedics and the progress in orthopedics and sports med. I feel that this has given me a step back. I communicate a lot with my nieces now, although virtually, having good conversations with them, sitting down, talking to Nirmal more. I think this made me realize that there are a lot of things which are important. And of course, once everything comes back to some level of normalcy, most part of the lessons will be forgotten. But I hope I still remember some of them.
Well, we've got it on audio now, so we'll play it back for you. So you will always remember.
Don't worry. My wife won't forget it for the next 15 years.
Would you have a message for athletes during the MCO?
Okay, guys, thank you very much for all those videos of your workouts and all those positive messages. And thanks for even posting videos to all the frontliners. I think that I speak for all of them. I'm not a frontliner. We are basically midfield in orthopedics. But I think we all appreciate all the support, and we also want our athletes to get out of MCO and get back to what they do, and all of us are hoping for the best.
I like the way you have explained this. The frontliners are your centre forwards. You are the midfielders, and you also need your, what are they called?
Fullbacks.
Your fullbacks.
Yeah, we were the fullbacks.
That's right. Mm. You midfield and fullback. Absolutely. Thank you very much for joining us today. Dr. Harjit Singh, consultant orthopedic surgeon, speaking to us about athletic performance amidst a pandemic on The Bigger Picture, BFM 89.9.
Thank you for listening to this podcast. To find more great interviews, go to bfm.my or find us on iTunes. BFM 89.9, The Business Station.